Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has sucked over.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Our heartfelt sympathies go out to all the families in Colorado who lost loved ones in that terrible atrocity. Jim Holmes of Aurora, Colorado, shot 50 people in a movie theater, killed. I've got conflicting reports here. And this is, by the way, Friday morning. That's a breaking story. But I've got a report of, one report says 12 dead, another says 15. And anyway, it's not unusual in these breaking news situations for some details to emerge that correct earlier accounts of the story as more information is gathered, you know, such as which Jim Holmes did the shooting. Of course, the progressives blamed the Tea Party. Progressives, a.k.a. liberals, who are so against making judgments on people based on profiling. The same people who are first to spout the thou shalt not judge thing, probably one of the few verses, if any, they know from the Bible. Those really nice people over there at ABC Good Morning America, who are so friendly, you know, folks who would never judge someone based on a profile merely. Well, that crowd was so anxious to get ahead of the story and spin it in the direction of somehow blaming conservatives. A la Gifford, remember that? Same old song and dance. Specifically the Tea Party, of course. For this latest example of opportunistic evil, and I'll explain that later, when they discovered there was a James Holmes of Aurora, Colorado, who happened to have lately joined a local Tea Party group or identified himself with one, those progressives just had to rush to judgment, didn't they, and insinuate a connection between the Tea Party and the Aurora massacre. Brian Ross took point on this one. Of ABC's Good Morning America. Of course, it was then proved to be false, and ABC has issued a formal apology for failing to properly vet the story before they publicly identified a perfectly innocent man as the suspect in this atrocity and insinuated guilt against a perfectly innocent organization. And we wonder when they're going to apologize for failing to properly vet Obama. Anyway. Now, the question is, was this failure on their part to take the time necessary to verify whether or not the Jim Holmes affiliated with the Tea Party was the suspect in the Aurora, Colorado massacre? Was this another example of mere, you know, corrections to a developing story? You know, like the number killed? No. You see, a discrepancy in the number killed or shot does not defame someone's character. Such a detail is not one that serves anyone's political agenda. But getting the number of persons wounded and killed wrong is very different from running to the internet, Googling Jim Holmes, Aurora, Colorado, and finding a Jim Holmes of Aurora listed on a Tea Party website. And then before even bothering to verify anything, announcing on national TV the possibility that they have discovered that the suspect in this monstrous deed is a Tea Party member, with a promise to their presumably liberal audience that they will watch this story very carefully and get back to you. What story? I mean, these foul people are more interested in the story they're concocting about a possible affiliation between the suspect and the Tea Party than they are, apparently, in the 12 to 15 people who were killed in a movie theater there. Where's their focus? What piques their interest? What is the line of the story they're interested in watching? You know, whether or not they can blame the Tea Party? What is this about? Think about this. Why would they assume there might be a connection between this murdering KOist, and I'll explain that later, be patient, and the Tea Party? I mean, if you're going to profile Mr. Ross, what about this event fits the profile, in your mind, of a typical Tea Party member or Tea Party participant, I should say? You know, what, the fact that he's a white guy with a gun? Is that your profile, Mr. Ross? White guys with guns? Equal Tea Party adherent? Equal rampaging lunatic? Well, Mr. Ross, for the record, not one person associated with the Tea Party has murdered anyone. But several people associated with the Occupy movement, participating in an Occupy movement event, have murdered, raped, and vandalized property. while participating in an Occupy event. The rhetoric of the Tea Party movement, for the record, has never been heard calling for the violent overthrow of the United States, and yet spokespersons for the Occupy movement have strongly insinuated that is exactly what they're calling for. And some who identify with that movement state plainly that is what they will resort to if necessary. If we're going to profile, well, this character fits the profile of an Occupy movement adherent far more closely than the profile of a Tea Party adherent. But you might have noticed that nobody on the right, and I said nobody, ran out in front of the story and started insinuating this is an example of Occupy movement rage or something encouraged by Occupy movement rhetoric. So who is guilty of profiling? Progressives do it all the time. Only they have one profile formula. Conservatives, especially Christian ones, did it. Believe me, some of these yahoos are lighting candles around pentagrams, hoping they'll find a way to connect this guy with Christianity. Well, if you can't laugh, there's nothing left but to cry. But if it turns out that he was a Muslim, well, that will be a different story altogether, won't it? In that case, of course, religion has nothing to do with it, and it should not even be mentioned. Or if it turns out that he's a fellow liberal or attended an Occupy movement event, or if he's pro-choice or homosexual or anything like that, well, then in that case, of course, his political orientation or sexual orientation is of no interest. It's only if he's a Protestant or Catholic, heterosexual white male with conservative inclinations, that's when his political, religious, and personal ideology will be fully vetted. People like Brian Ross are disgusting examples of what party politics has done to the soul of the entire country, really, and to so many individuals in this country. I mean, it destroys conscience, corrupts humane sensibility, robs the soul of common decency, as well as common sense. George Washington warned us about this. In essence, he said, party politics subordinates every conviction of man's soul to the narrow interests of the party. You know, that for the sake of a party or the party, a man will compromise not only the integrity of his own convictions, but he will compromise the loyalty, his loyalty to his fellow man, to his own country, even to his own family. He will betray those closest to him for the sake of the party. Party politics is one of the wickedest developments of evil in our land. But back to the point before us, or is this the point? What Brian Ross did disgusts me on so many levels. I mean, it's like an artichoke or an onion. One layer leads to the next, to the next. And I mean, think about this. A monster, a hideous, nightmarish creature of hell plans this atrocity, no doubt for months. I mean, you'll see, it's obvious he planned it for some time before. I mean, this guy even booby-trapped his apartment. Did you hear about that? With what the experts are saying appears to be some pretty sophisticated triggering mechanisms. And he carries gas canisters into the theater, along with weapons sufficient to launch a minor war. And obviously, he sneaks all of this into the theater. This thing was planned. This was not some spontaneous rage-induced act of passion. This was a carefully planned out and executed plot to wreak havoc. A recluse, they say. The sort of guy who won't even grunt at you when you pass him in the hall and say hi. A cave dweller. Basically lived a holed up in his apartment with no social life that anyone knows about yet. He lays in wait in a dark movie theater. And I don't know when exactly he began his rampage. It might be interesting to discover at what point in the movie, the Batman movie he was there to watch, did his neo-transmitters trigger the deed or open the door to the devils of hell that came to free him of any compunction he might have against taking human life and so started his attack on the audience, throwing the smoke canisters first and not needing cover for some reason. I'm not sure what he was doing with that. But nevertheless, through the fog, he starts randomly shooting in a packed theater. Obviously, he had no specific target. His plan, clearly, was to strike terror, to trigger chaos. And he did not even resist arrest, by the way. Mission accomplished, you see. He surrendered to the police, leaving 50 wounded and from 12 to 15 dead, and everyone in the theater traumatized, along with the entire city and state and nation. And of course, you know, 260 have been murdered in Chicago alone. I mean, this year, to date, and counting. Most of that increase is probably coming from gang rivalry breaking out in the city, but that does not shock anyone. In fact, there is a tendency to minimize it, but, well, that's Obama's hometown, so, you know, we don't want to make much of that. Oh, my. But we are duly and appropriately shocked and dismayed at this horror story in real life. And, of course, we are going to ask ourselves questions and one another questions, and we're going to finger point. It's pretty natural to do that. It's just that, you know, hey, we expect guys with national platforms like Brian Ross of ABC's Good Morning America to have better sense and to behave more responsibly in situations like this. But do we? I mean, I think we've pretty much come to expect that that's a little too much to ask of progressives, isn't it, these days? At least 12 families and the wider circle of their extended family and friends and the broader community touched by all of these and the rippling effects of this sort of thing goes on and on. Our hearts are broken for the mothers, the fathers, the brothers, the sisters, the uncles, the aunts, the grandparents, wives, husbands. This is a horrible demonstration of evil. And I've got to go to a break. But as my beloved Dove almost immediately said, if just one person in that audience had a right to carry and a weapon in on his hip, I wonder how many lives would have been saved in that atrocity. What do you bet this guy's a KOist? You know, in the ideological family of the Joker character in the Batman movies. I bet it turns out he's emotionally fixated on characters like the Joker and imagines himself championing ultimate free expression, ultimate freedom, liberating mankind from what they consider to be the thin veneer of superficial order superimposed over the natural state of chaos. Ha! A sociopath. Well, my friends, I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur and pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church here in Santa Maria. Beginning Sunday, July 29 at 9:30 a.m., I'll begin a teaching series titled, How to Have a Happy Home. Mrs. Scheidbach and I celebrated our 39th wedding anniversary this June. We've weathered many storms together, raised our son together, survived a battle with cancer together, lived through our son's deployment in Afghanistan together. And last week, we were thrilled as together we witnessed our son's proposal to his bride-to-be. At the beach where we often spent time together, under the pier, on a knee, he asked the love of his youth to become his bride. And now together, we look forward to his wedding and grandchildren. We know the joy of a happy home. We did it by following the guidelines taught in the Bible. And I'm looking forward to sharing the wisdom God has given us with you, so you can have a happy home too. Join me Sunday, July 29 at 9:30 a.m. and have a happy home.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about two, to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Well, you know, this is interesting. Here's early vindication of my theory about this character in Colorado, who shot up a movie theater. The latest I got now is that he shot 71 people. And I see here a note that he killed 15 of them, wounded, I don't know, 51 others. Shot 71. Anyway, so the numbers are still a little bit funny, but it'll all clear up as we get more data. And here, I just got a Drudge Report notification that this fella had colored his hair red and told the police that he was the Joker. How about that? Wow. And his booby-trapped apartment, it turns out, it is even more bizarre. It's rigged with, quote, incendiary and chemical devices and tripwires, end quote. I mean, he was equipped. Now we have more details here. He was equipped with an AR-15, Armor Light 15, basically an M16 without the three-burst or automatic setting feature. A 12-gauge shotgun, a couple of 40-caliber pistols. Also, we notice he was dressed in full tactical gear, including a gas mask. Anyway, this 24-year-old maniac went into that theater with the sole intention of creating mayhem, a la the Joker. How about that? Our prayers are with the families, devastated by this monster. And now a related story. I'm sure you've heard that Obama's Department of Defense has given blanket permission to military personnel to participate in the upcoming Gay Pride March in San Diego, dressed in their military uniform. Now, this will be the first time in history military personnel have been allowed to wear their uniform while participating in one of these marches. Now, is this related? Well, only on a certain ideological level. The philosophy of chaosm, the philosophy of the Joker, the idea that order stifles creativity, that to be truly creative requires a break out of the confines of so-called superficial, superimposed societal structures, such as morality, you know, that shapes societal attitudes about sexual expression. It takes great courage, great bravery for these creative persons to shake off the shackles of mundane morality and soar in freedom. Yeah, now, this is the profile of the homosexual community. At least it's what they desire us to, it's the way they desire us to see them. The image of the homosexual is typically highly creative, sensitive, imaginative, and all that nonsense. Well, I mean, there are some that are and there are some that aren't. It's about the same as in any other demographic. Nevertheless, Office Depot has decided to go major public in support of the homosexual lifestyle. And like Depot, at least in one way, they are targeting our kids specifically. Yeah, Office Depot is running a promotion to sell school supplies, announcing that, I think it's 25% or some portion like that, of the proceeds of the sale of their special homosexual-themed merchandise will go to promoting homosexuality among our children. And they are pushing the lie that it's about bravery. It's about being yourself. You know, touching all the adolescent buttons there. You know what? Liars and... Oh, good night. You know, homosexuality is only brave in the sense that they arrogantly and openly defy the Creator. If you call that bravery, it's stupidity and His design. But in terms of being yourself... It's definitely about denying what the Creator designed and made you to be, rejecting what God made you to be, exactly as their father did, the founder of confusion, Lucifer. But in this, Office Depot has gone a step beyond Home Depot. Home Depot is basically secretive about their support of homosexuality. They do. They try to keep it separate from their local stores and from their daily business. As you know, we are in a campaign of educating the employees and managers at Home Depot and Starbucks, by the way, about the truth concerning homosexuality. I mean, they've decided to come out in public support of it, so they ought to know what they're supporting. And we are discovering that, as I expected, many Christians who work, and even though some who manage these stores, aren't really aware of what Home Depot is doing, or Starbucks for that matter. Some don't even know that Home Depot is a public sponsor of homosexual pride marches where near-nude men display unnatural sexual behaviors on floats in public and in full view of children. That, in fact, Home Depot sponsors the children's booth at these obscene events. However, you don't see general national advertising proclaiming an open identification between Home Depot and the homosexual movement. And by the way, that's the only reason they've survived so far. Now, we're trying to educate the general public as best we can. And you will find that the more people find out about what exactly it is that Home Depot and Starbucks are promoting in our neighborhood, well, the more impact we're going to have. It's precisely because they are able to keep it pretty much under the radar that they are able to get away with taking sides in a heated grassroots debate over one of the most fundamental elements of society, the family, and what defines it. But Office Depot has made the mistake that JCPenney has made. The CEOs of Starbucks were able to smugly say that they've noticed no impact on their bottom line after they came out with a statement in declaration of support for gay marriage. But that is because very few people in the general public know about it. And the same thing is true of Home Depot. They smugly pretend they have general support of the community for their decision to take sides against the traditional family in support of changing the meaning of the word marriage to mean something it has never meant in the history of mankind, advocating for homosexuals to have special rights that ultimately destroy the unalienable rights of everyone opposed to them. But the reason they can do this and seemingly get away with it is because they've avoided going openly public about it. I mean, like JCPenney's did. Remember, Penny's hired Ellen DeGeneres a while back, an open lesbian, to be their spokesperson. And they followed this up with some very broad national advertising in which they identified themselves, their company brand, with the homosexual movement. And their stock has plummeted ever since. The homosexual community can't prop it up indefinitely, and it will ultimately collapse. Because generally speaking, people are not comfortable with the idea of making that aberrant, unnatural behavior something we openly promote in our culture. People just don't like it, my friend, naturally and instinctively. They resist it and reject it. The born that way myth is not going to fly, Office Depot. There is no scientific basis for the born that way myth. I mean, this has less science to support it than global warming does. And if you have ears to hear, surely you've heard about the fraudulent science and unsupported assumptions the global warming advocates are using to perpetrate their lies. Well, the same thing has gone on with the so-called gay gene, and all that's been debunked. You know what? Most homosexual activists don't even bring that up anymore because the science is against them. Except they'll bring it up in the same way Al Gore does, global warming. You know, being a scientific fact that's beyond discussion. They don't want to debate it, though, because they don't want to hear the facts. They no longer attempt to point to scientific evidence because all of that has been debunked as fraud. Look, I've looked into it very carefully and thoroughly, and there is no reputable science supporting the idea that some are born male, others are born female, and then there's another category called it. I mean, there's no third gender, friend. There's he and she, but it is not a gender. It's a weird hairy creature that lives in Adam's in the Adam family house. All right. If you can't laugh, there's nothing left but to cry. Perhaps you are dismayed at the flood of homosexual support that seems to be rising in the land. It's overwhelming, but many do not understand how these things develop. Be still and know the salvation of the Lord, my dear friends. As Hannity often says, let not your heart be troubled. The reaction is not felt immediately. It grows over time. People are at first ambivalent. I mean, you know, they got their lives to live, you know. But when this kind of thing finally breaks through into their full awareness and consciousness, and they see it touching their children in a direct way, well, you're going to get a reaction. JCPenney's stock is an example of that, plummeting ever since they brought on Ellen DeGeneres and decided to advertise homosexuality or to openly and nationally advertise an identity with the homosexual agenda. The same thing is going to happen to Office Depot. And especially in a community like ours, people are not going to feel comfortable buying their school supplies at Office Depot if doing so means they are supporting homosexual advocacy. Well, they're going to want to shop at Staples. If Starbucks advertised at 10 cents of every dollar spent at Starbucks in a certain coffee they sold went to support organizations advocating for the teaching of homosexuality to our children, how long do you suppose it would be before they began to feel an impact on their bottom line? You see, they hide it. Now, and I've got to begin wrapping up the show, but let me explain something to you about all of this that I feel it's important for you to understand. I believe that homosexuals have all of the same inalienable rights that I do, or that anybody else does. Inalienable rights belong to everyone. What they are demanding is social acceptance. They're attempting to elevate the idea that the rest of society approving their behavior is somehow their right. They're demanding that we forego our religious beliefs, change our core values in order to accommodate a behavior choice that is obviously unnatural and unhealthy, documented to be unhealthy. I mean, this is ridiculous that anyone is taking them seriously, but that's where we are. If social acceptance and peer approval of homosexuality are inalienable rights, and if that means, you know, there ought to be, for example, like in Canada was for a while anyway, a law prohibiting anyone from speaking openly against them, And call that hate speech somehow? Well, you know what? Nazis have a right to demand that society accepts them as equals in ideology and every other way. And that they should have a right then to sue you if you speak out against them. This is nonsense. You cannot force people to accept a behavior they instinctively and naturally reject. Look, even if homosexuality was a born-that-way situation, it's not, but even if it was, that would not mean they have a right to demand that society generally accept it. It would be an aberration that happens in nature. You know, how bizarre it is in that case, even, to say we must therefore encourage it. It's obviously a destructive lifestyle, and we ought to do everything in our power to discourage it. The pedophile can make the same argument. He could say he's naturally, that is, that he has a born-that-way instinct to want to have a sexual relationship with five-year-old children. And don't roll your eyes. That is being said by some groups within the homosexual community already. But you know what? Even if that was true, what if it was provable that some people are actually born with, okay, we'll call it a pedophile gene? That would not mean society should be compelled to accept the behavior and allow adults to marry nine-year-old children like Muhammad. What if some people were born with a natural predilection to have sex with animals? And they claim that they were born that way. You got a bestiality gene next, huh? That does not mean society should be compelled to change the meaning of marriage to accommodate a woman marrying her horse or dog. But here's another example. Suppose a man wants to be like a Muslim and have four wives. Yeah, of course, why Islam limits their men to four is a mystery. I guess it's so they can have something to look forward to in heaven when they get 70. But you get my point. Why not polygamy? If the definition of marriage ought to be changed to accommodate those who claim they have a natural inclination to marry a person of the same gender, well, why not redefine marriage to allow a man to have as many wives as he wants? I mean, the point is that all of this works against the family. And that is the main point. It is destructive to the nucleus of society. It unravels the fabric of society by undermining its foundation. Friend, it is obvious that the Creator made man and woman and designed them in such a way for one another so as to allow them to procreate. And that is the natural order. And what homosexuals want is not equal rights, because they already have that. They want to elevate their demand to change the natural order to the level of an inalienable right. I mean, the fundamental order of nature. They want to make that an inalienable right, which would then require us all to join them in deconstructing the divine order upon which our society stands. You need to understand this. And in this way, the homosexual movement is a tool in the hands of those who desire to introduce chaos, confusion, disorder into our society, intending to break down the standing order so they can then reshape it into the new order. The core values and philosophy of the homosexual community, and I mean the committed activists among them, is the deconstruction of the American family. Their attitude is akin to those who hate order, who despise the concept of natural order or natural law and the law of God, and they think all moral order is superficially superimposed over them, restricting their freedom to be who they are. Yeah, that kind of nonsense. It's all a bunch of nonsense. But unhappily, it is the same essential notion that is underneath the wicked atrocity perpetrated in Colorado recently, a militant assault on order by promoting confusion and disorder in society. A different tack, same ends. And you'll find out soon enough. The underlying ideology of chaosm, expressed in the philosophy of the Joker, is the kissing cousin of the philosophy underlying the homosexual agenda. It will unravel the moral structure that supports family and ultimately destroy civil society. Look, every culture that has become generally accepting of homosexuality turns on itself and becomes increasingly self-destructive. It is a self-destructive lifestyle. When society accepts it, not only do the diseases associated with it become increasingly pervasive in the general population, the underlying philosophy works its way into every aspect of social order and, like a cancer, eats away at the moral structure that supports the family. And when that structure collapses, the society around it collapses too and becomes overrun with chaos. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know that you see that they are on. Caller recently said, didn't understand lights on, lights off. I think I've got about half a minute to explain. In the early days of this show, I made an eloquent point and said that should get the lights on out there, meaning turn the lights on in their head so they can see clearly was the concept. And we got flooded with calls of people saying, I'm turning my lights on and, you know, I'm driving with my lights on and tell the pastor my lights are on, this kind of thing. And so we just began, you know, I just followed up with that with the idea that if you agree with what I'm saying, then the lights are on. If you disagree with what I'm saying, then you say the lights are off, that you can't see it my way. Yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch, but you get the idea. In any event, I'm Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch. Do you see that those lights are on? Or do you say, nah, they're off? You call 1-888-770-8000, 1-888-770-8000. That is 1-888-770-8000. Now leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States. From outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website and clicking on the Contact Us button. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com. That's all one word, lowercase, thebrainmassageshow.com. If you're in a hurry, you can just click lights on and send, or click lights on or lights off and write me a message. When you call 1-888-770-8000, that's 1-888-770-8000. If you're in a hurry, just say lights on and hang up, or lights off and hang up. Or give me a lights on or a lights off, and then tell me what you think about these things we've discussed today. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
Want to help us slay the dragons of deceit with the sword of the Spirit? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Gotta have more? We understand. Tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.